Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, God bless you. Welcome once again to the Mind of Christ Covenant Ministries broadcast. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We bless each and every one for tuning in once again this week. Thanking God for another opportunity to come and to be able to share the Word of God with you. Amen. Through the airways. Amen. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Letting the world know, this dying world know, that Jesus is the answer. Amen. For the world today. Amen. All you have to do is just call on him. Amen. He's right where you are. There's no long distance, nothing you have to go through. Amen. The Lord is right where you are. Amen. Just all you have to do is just reach up in your heart. Amen. And talk to the Lord and touch him, and he will touch you back. Amen. We're grateful this evening to have, amen, from San Diego, California, amen, none other than the own Pastor Donnie Nelson. Amen. We're grateful for him sharing, amen, a word tonight. Amen. At this time, amen, whatever the Lord, amen, has laid on his heart, amen, I ask you to receive, amen, the word, man of God, on tonight. God bless you, Pastor Nelson.
Thank you, Pastor Hadley. First of all, we just want to appreciate this opportunity that's been extended for this opportunity to share the love of God. Mm-hmm. And we to Radio Land, our forum is going to be about the love of God. And it will be shared with you in different formats, but we want you to know that God, about God's love, and then we want to know how to carry out that love. Yes. And so some things we're going to be talking about are going to include the love of God in its twofold dimensions, the love of Christ in its twofold dimensions, and the love of God toward the world.
Yes.
Sometimes I think we're confused, and we think that God is ready to blow up the world. You know, he's angry, but John 3:16 tells us that God so love the world.
Yes.
You know, and so what we want to really share and spread is how much God loves. And then we want to also look at the love of God toward us.
Mm-hmm.
I think many times we are confused a lot of times about how God loves us, how
yes.
much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't recognize his love, many times we are living in shame, we're living in guilt,
mm-hmm.
We feel we aren't forgiven. And, you know, we're just kind of judging and condemning ourselves.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we really don't need anyone else to beat us down because we're beating ourselves down.
Exactly.
When we don't recognize how much he loves us. And even though he says he'll take us all of our sins and cast
mm-hmm.
them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more, we find that the accuser of the brother has that tendency, who is Satan, will come and point to us something of our past
yes.
to try to make us feel as if God does not really love us as he says.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to just dive into that area. Then also we want to look at the love of Christ toward us.
Yeah.
Paul, when he wrote the church at Ephesus, he said that we might know the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we stop at recognizing God's love, but we don't realize that God continued to express his love through Christ
yeah.
toward us. So, and what we see in the church age and the church dispensation is that God's love is manifested through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins when God sends his only begotten son into the earth realm to redeem us.
Yes.
But and then God expresses his love when he gives his only son on Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So God is demonstrating his love. And you know, that's the awesome thing that everyone who hears my voice needs to really realize God has demonstrated his love.
Yes.
You know, And even Paul picks it up. He says, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
And then in Romans, the fifth chapter, he tells us that while we were yet sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? Bless his name. It's wonderful and awesome that when we didn't have a mind to serve God, didn't have a do right mind, no thoughts of God, God was busy demonstrating his love toward us. So this is something I think that will free people from guilt, free people from shame. It will set us free when we realize the dimension of the love of Christ.
Yes.
But then we want to cross the street on that subject of love, and we're going to get in the area of our love toward God.
Okay.
It's amazing how many times people say that they love God, but they don't know how to live it out.
Okay.
They don't know how to put that love into practice. And it's been said, and I don't know the author, but it's been said that love is an action.
Okay.
And Jesus kind of paraphrased that. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do something. You'll do that which God requires. But we want to really explore that idea of our love towards God. And there's some dynamics and some elements that we're going to look at. But we also want to look at our love toward Christ.
All right.
And a lot of times people think they're one and the same. But as we explore these topics, we're going to see that there's a love that we demonstrate toward Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And those that love that we demonstrate toward him, one of the things that we're going to see is our love toward Christ expresses our appreciation of what he did on Calvary. What he accomplished on Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
It demonstrates that we appreciate not only his sacrifice, but his blood.
Yeah.
We appreciate the victory that he's passed on to us. When he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? And then he tells us that he's given all power unto us over all the power of the enemy. So that's a dimension that we want to look into is what's this love of Christ, the toy Christ really about?
All right.
And something I think that's current today, Pastor Hatley, is the love of others.
All right. Yeah.
You know, we sometimes want to step over loving others and express how much we're in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes it clear that if we don't love, how can we love God whom we've never seen when we don't love the one we're bumping shoulders with every day?
That's it.
And so I think that's a critical thing, number one, because God, 1 John 4:8 tells us God is love.
All right.
And he says that when we don't know, if we don't know God, if we don't walk in love.
That's it.
So I think one of the things, too, faith works by love. Many times people don't understand why their ministries don't flourish.
All right.
Why their giftings don't flourish.
Mm-hmm.
They're puzzled as to why they're not getting responses to prayer. And seemingly it appears that God isn't intervening on their behalf. But if we look at a broader picture, we understanding that faith works by love. Faith to receive works. It's works by love. So in other words, our love walk, our understanding of love toward others is a critical dynamic.
All right.
Okay, and then we wanted when we talk about others today, Pastor Hatley, we want to look at love in the home.
Okay, that's where it starts.
It's a tragedy today that we have those who do not know how to demonstrate love and carry out love toward their spouses, toward their children, you know. And the family is the basic unit, not only of society, but it's the basic unit of the church.
Yes,
And right.
Whatever breaks down in the home is carried over into the church.
All right. That's plain.
So it's critical that we understand the love relationship that is to be built in the home,
mm-hmm.
and then that love relationship will then carry over to the church.
Yes, sir.
And when when the love relationship carries over from the home to the church, that means you're going to have a better church family.
That's it.
You know, so that all of these things we're going to see connect. And then, too, just while we're on that, loving others, I want to squeeze this in, also includes loving our enemies.
That's it.
In the climate we have of society today and the events in our country, there's a tendency for people to say, well, I don't love certain people, or I don't love under certain conditions.
All right, all right. That's it.
You know? But however, love loves at all times.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And one of the critical things today is Jesus says, you know, if we only love those who love us, then we're doing no more than the scribes and the Pharisees.
That's it.
In other words, we're to love our enemies, and we don't want to get all into it, but we're going to develop that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to develop some things that will help us in that area. Certainly, when we talk to others, we talk about all of our other encounters. Just to look at another topic that
mm-hmm.
we really want to address, is our love toward ourselves.
All right.
You know, you hear different extremes, and I think in any area from my experience and exposure that you can take anything to an extreme.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But we're talking, when we say loving ourselves, we're talking about a healthy love.
All right.
We're talking a positive love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that say? It says, I love myself as Christ would love me.
All right.
Okay. So otherwise, that's why the Bible says that a husband loves himself, and
mm-hmm.
he should treat his wife as he treats himself.
All right.
Why? Because he loves himself. So
mm-hmm.
there is a positive, a very healthy self-love that the Lord approves of.
All right.
And those are some of the things that just we really want to introduce. Why? Because God is love.
Yes.
And I think one of the greatest chapters in the book, in the Bible, is 1 Corinthians 13.
All right.
You know, it's known as the love chapter, but I think it should be the love walk. It should be the love walk chapter.
Okay. All right.
In other words, not just a chapter in the Bible to
mm-hmm.
get excited about, but
all right.
this is the chapter I live by. And it breaks down the dynamics of love. What am I saying? It breaks down the how to.
Yes.
And in other words, we hear what to. What to is always preached to us.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, we're told what to do, to love one another. But
mm-hmm.
now the dynamic of it is, how do I carry it out?
That's it.
And
mm-hmm.
what do I mean? How do I carry it out? How do I demonstrate love when I'm talking to someone? How
mm-hmm.
do
all
how
right.
am I demonstrating love when I respond to a situation? Here's a good one. How do I demonstrate love when I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off?
All right, that's it. That's first hand.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So we want to get where the rubber meets the road. You
uh-huh.
know. How, in other words, we're not just going to quote scriptures and get happy to say I know what it says. But
all right.
What we really want to know is, how do I put it to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then identify areas. This is the ultimate thing. This is the ultimate thing. How identify areas in our lives that we can see where we need to apply love.
All right.
Okay. That's going to be the takeaway. You know, in the sessions, what area in my life
mm-hmm.
am I not applying love to? as according to Scripture that I can apply love? Is it being impatient?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a lack of self-control? This is something that bothers me. Is it bad-mouthing my brother?
All right.
You know, is it putting my brother's name or sister's name on the highway? Is it, you know, am I jumping on the bandwagon when my brother falls or my sister falls?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So a lot of times we assume that we're walking in the lane of love and we've actually stepped out of the lane of love.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So we want to really not just say, okay, this is what the Bible says, but am I showing love when I'm not being kind?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Am I being kind in conversation when someone says something that they shouldn't have said, and then I snap them up because they were wrong?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or could I have been kind and said, Lord, help them to understand, help them to see, and pray for them?
Yes, that's it.
So there are so many just rather simple ways that in life that we need to understand how to walk in love. And Pastor, once we start understanding and growing more in the areas
mm-hmm.
of love, we have better relationships.
That's right. That's
okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. First of all, we're going to have a better relationship
that's
with
right.
God.
That's right.
That's the first thing, because we're going to love him more than ourselves.
All right.
Okay? And we're going to be willing to die to ourselves.
That's it.
The next thing is we're going to have better relationships in our homes.
All right.
Okay? Because husband and wives, and we're going to talk about the dimension of grace.
Okay.
That is a revelation, is the demonstration of God's love in the earth realm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about how God's grace is a flow of his love. And we say grace is undeserved, unmerited.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the truth of it is that if he didn't love us.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If he didn't love us, he never would have released it.
All right. I know that's the truth.
So what we then come to realize, wait a minute. If I really love, I should be releasing that same grace.
That's right.
In my home, you know, among my friends. When I go out and do business and someone doesn't handle the transaction right, do I go off on them or do I give them grace?
All right.
Okay, so that's why we say this understanding, getting more into the dimensions of grace,
right.
of love, and that grace flows through love, and we'll find that it'll cause a transformation, as I said, between relationships,
mm-hmm.
But it'll also cause a transformation in us.
That's right.
You know, because our perspective will change. Our attitude will change.
Yes.
Our responses will change. Mm-hmm. How we view other people will change.
Yes.
How we view the crisis of life will change.
All right.
You know, it will cause a transformation in us.
That's right.
You know, and what we'll find out that the more we walk in love, really the more we become like God.
That's right.
You know, just a closing point. One of the things that will come up and along these discussions is going to be forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall some time ago, and I was that kind of person. You know, things just had to be right. Things just had to be right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine in its place. But then one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And he said, do you want to be like God? You say you want to be more like God. I said, yes, I want to be more like God. And then he said, do you know what God does? I said, well, what's that? He said, he forgives.
All right.
You know, oftentimes we talk about the blessings of God.
That's right.
But we overlook the forgiveness of God.
That's it.
And so a lot of times we're going so much after the blessings of God,
uh-huh.
we don't realize that we need to walk in the forgiveness of God.
Mm-hmm.
too. So it unfolds. It connect. Everything will connect, and
yes.
Everything will unfold. And we trust that the radio audience will be blessed and will be edified and be enriched and built up. And God will be glorified, Jesus will be magnified.
Amen.
And that souls will be added to the kingdom.
That's
because
right.
they will recognize the magnitude and the greatness of his love.
That's it. Amen. Amen.
And hope that everybody out there got had an ear to hear something that will get their attention.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we're just thanking God. Amen. It is about love. Amen. The Bible tells us, the scripture tells us, that Jesus said, this is the sign. This is how other men and other people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another.
That's so, the thing we wanted. There you go. That's
you know,
it.
So how can we say we love God whom we have not seen,
right.
But we look at our brother and sister each and every day, or week after week we go to church and fellowship.
There
with
you
some
go.
People that we can't stand. And this, that was something I learned new, fellowshipping with some people, that they have this thing called life in the church, that the life thing is in the church as opposed to the Spirit of God and us being family. We're all part of the body of Christ. So they dwell on this like, oh, I don't like her, so I can't work with her. Well, I don't like him, so me and him can't work on the same board. And I didn't know anything about that. We didn't know anything about that growing up in the church, talking about not liking folk.
Oh,
when
no,
you were
no.
assigned to work on a committee or an auxiliary,
right.
you worked to the faithfulness and to your duty unto God. You worked as unto God,
well,
not unto man.
But that's why we want to break this love thing down,
mm-hmm.
because that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, we have individuals now who have a way of getting around in their minds
all right.
what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another scripture that covers what you said. It said, bear ye
one another's
burdens.
That's
you
it.
Know? And
That's
and
it.
So, you know, basically, if Jesus had to, quote unquote, just say, I don't like my disciples, he wouldn't
All
have
right.
had any.
That's right. That's so right.
Because, you know, John is the only one who comes out fairly
mm-hmm.
clean.
Pretty clean, yeah.
And,
yes.
and then John had a little selfishness.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
John wrote the gospel according
yeah.
to John. And in his gospel, he's the one who says the beloved disciple.
Yes.
You know, we don't read any place in the Bible where Jesus
uh-huh.
refers to him
as
the beloved.
All right.
But John decides, I'm going to refer myself as the beloved. I'm a, you know, I have this little thing about attention, you know.
All right.
And I'm the one who laid my head upon his bosom.
That's right.
So even John, you know, John had a little thing going on, you know.
Uh-huh.
His wasn't as quite as obvious as the other disciples, you know.
All right.
Thomas was kind of out there, you know.
Yeah.
Let me touch the nail prints in his hand. Peter, he was out there, you know. He's cutting off folks' ears and carrying
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other disciple, one day Jesus, the crowd, the multitudes who were following, you remember that, Pastor?
Yeah.
They were following him, and they were just like people we deal with today.
Today,
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
You know, the multitudes were following because things were going the way they were wanting to go. They were getting the miracles, they were getting the healings, and they were
right.
getting fed.
All right.
Natural food.
Uh-huh.
But when Jesus starts saying some things that start addressing them and hitting
yes.
them, and the scripture says this, and they followed him no more.
All right.
And then Jesus looks at the disciples, you know, he says, okay, you've been acting as if you love me and you
mm-hmm.
care about me, okay, but I better ask you a question. Will
All
you
right.
go? Will you go also?
See?
In other
That's
words,
real.
He mm-hmm. knew their character too.
That's real, and loved them anyway. Like there was no like.
And
I don't
exactly,
like him.
That's
he
my whole
anyway.
point. You
exactly.
got it. You
he
got it
anyway.
He loved them. He loved them in spite of themselves.
That's right.
And he interacted with them in spite of them.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so a lot of times, and this is another problem that's centered in this,
mm-hmm.
and that is when we allow the enemy to deceive us
mm-hmm.
and to cause us to point out the shortcomings in character of that we have, then we overlook our own shortcomings.
Right. That's right.
And that sets us up for greater deception. Because if I say I'm going to stay away from you, and I'm not going to work with you
mm-hmm.
because of some
right.
character thing, then I'm saying, hey, I don't see that thing that somebody's looking at me and saying, you know, I really don't like that about them.
All right. That's real.
You know
mm-hmm.
but Bishop Jakes, and I've learned this in life too as well, you know, but he pointed it out that in life you will have to work with people you
mm-hmm.
don't like.
That's
and
real.
The people that you think you don't like, they have the things that you need
that
to
you
get
need.
Where you're going.
That's real now.
so you have to get over this disliking, and it's easy to do when you start sitting down. When you sit down and look at this, when we look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not a real fan of Shakespeare and all of that stuff. But one thing I read that he said years ago,
all right.
he said, above all things, to thine own self be
to
true.
Be true. That's what he said. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's the challenging moment for us when we see faults in others.
All right.
You know, we get
that's
that dislike attitude, you know, I can't stand, you know, I can't sit on that same pew or that same side of the church. But what we have is a love problem.
That's it. That's it.
You know,
that's
just where the rubber meets the road,
that's
you know,
it.
Because when we get into it and break it down, we're going to see that there's certain attributes or characteristics of love that cannot be denied.
That's right.
And
that's
we
right.
cannot, we may fool ourselves saying that, oh, we love God. But this, as you quoted and I mentioned coming on,
mm-hmm.
how can we love God, a God
that's
whom
right.
we have not seen?
That's right.
Intangible, invisible.
That's
how
right.
can we possibly love him? And when we don't love a brother and sister we work with, we sing with, we sit on the
that's
platform
right.
with.
Fellowship
you know,
with, yeah.
We fellowship with,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's utterly impossible.
That's real.
But the thing is, everybody has a different theological perspective, and I don't argue theological perspectives.
That's right.
What I do if the opportunity comes up, this is where I am based on what I see in the scriptures. Now, if you see something different, we're not going to go to war because we're brothers and sisters.
That's right now.
See,
that's right.
We're not on the same team.
All right.
Maybe you thought the play should have been called one way, and I thought it should have been called another.
Another, okay.
But the fact of it is we're on the same team.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
There's no point in you and I bumping heads over this.
That's right.
You know, so the point is, and I said that to preface what I was about to say, Pastor, and that is, when we look at the seven churches of Asia, some people believe that those were historical churches, and that was the end of it.
That's right.
Okay, we have another view that says, okay, yes, that's true. They were historical churches, but that was not the end of it.
That's
and
right.
And that those churches represent the church ages, seven church ages,
that's
or
right.
if not seven church ages, which some don't like the term age or dispensation,
uh-huh.
but it's characteristic of churches that exist in one of those forms.
That's right.
So what we have to what we run into is a church is going to have the characteristic of one of those churches. And there were
that's
two
right.
that was very interesting, just to make it brief. One was the church at Thyatira.
All right.
Okay. It was referred to as the seat of Satan.
All right.
And because of the doctrine, because of the Nicolaitan doctrine that they accepted. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The other church he talked about was the lukewarm.
That's it.
okay? And if, well, actually three, I'm sorry. The church that started was the dead church.
There you go. That's it. That's
so,
it.
So what I'm saying is, when we encounter people or groups or churches, you know, and we know, you and I, we know the building is not really the body of Christ. We know the body of Christ is not limited to buildings. You and I, we are the church as individuals. So watch this. So that means we're in one of those conditions.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
You fit in one of them. That's it.
Yeah, we fit. We, mm-hmm. Our membership is in one of those.
Yes, sir.
Our membership is in one of those conditions.
That's right.
Now, but the problem is, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't recognize it, and so we'll keep going. And it takes the Word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the preaching of the Word
The
teaching of the Word to help us to see ourselves in the light of the gospel.
That's it.
Oh my goodness. You know, and once we, any of us, stand in the light of the gospel and see the image of Christ and see ourselves, we don't have any room to put down our brothers or sisters.
That's it. Amen to that.
But if we get standing in front of the mirror and saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's
right,
the fairest of them all? That's all right. Don't answer. I am, you know.
All right. I know that's right.
We're gonna leave deceived every time.
Yes, sir.
You know, but oh, when we stand before Jesus, and then we can cry out, oh, God, to sing that song we used to sing, to be more like Jesus, or how I want to be more like Him.
Oh, yes.
You know, and so there's a lot that we're going to unfold. There's a lot we're going to unpackage and unwrap here, and about love. And hopefully, you know, that someone in Radio Land will hear something that will spark them. And two things. One, we want people to know how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them.
Yes.
You know, and that He was willing to die for my sins and their sins, for the sins of the world.
All
and
right.
sometimes people are confused about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that a little later. Meaning this, people don't understand that they're sinners.
All right. All right.
And so people need to know that they have a need for a Savior.
Yes.
And then we who say we know Him, then we need to demonstrate the love that He's demonstrated toward us.
That's it. And like you said, the only way we can demonstrate that love is if we have it down in our hearts. Amen. And the first way, and the best place, amen, to I guess you could say, really know the level of your love is at home. That's the best place for your love to be tested and tried, is at home or with family. Amen.
Well, actually, I couldn't have said it any better. But this is the flip side. Anything that goes untested is unproven.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so a lot of times people are offended, and that, I'll get into that really in detail, but just a tidbit of that.
Yeah.
A lot of times people say, oh, you know, I was in church and I was hurt by the church. I was hurt by people in church. Well, let's raise the question. Why would Jesus say forgive one another if we weren't going to get hurt in church?
Okay.
If we weren't going to get hurt by people we know.
That's right.
If we weren't going to be offended by people close to us.
That's right.
There wouldn't have been any need for it, for Him to have said it.
For Him to say it. That's real.
Right?
That's right.
So, obviously, one of the characteristics of love, which, as I mentioned earlier, that the Holy Spirit brought to my attention, is the willingness to forgive.
Yes.
So instead, we become bitter, and we fester.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
But we'll go. You know, so that's one of the things that we're going to deal with in love is, in other words, I'm not supposed to just jump up and run off because my feelings got hurt.
That's right.
Or somebody talked about me in church. You know.
All right.
No. Wait. Forgive one another.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Because see, once the we'll get into that. But once the enemy gets that in us, you know, that I'm not supposed to be offended, I'm not supposed to be hurt, you know, my brother's not supposed to do anything wrong toward me, then we're going to be running.
Yes, constantly. Yes.
Constantly running.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is the interesting thing to me about this situation, that type of situation, and that is we find ourselves looking for a perfect people when we're not perfect ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you.
We end up looking for a perfect church when we're not perfect ourselves.
That's it. All right.
We end up looking to be treated perfectly when we don't treat others perfectly ourselves. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna get off the highway on that. but those are the areas, things that we want to explore. You know, am I demanding something of someone else that I can't give myself?
All right.
You know, am I walking in the same level of love that I expect people to walk in toward me?
Towards me. Yeah, right. That's right.
You know, when I make a mistake or when I'm wrong, I want the whole world to forgive me.
Yeah.
But you let somebody else make a mistake. I'm on the phone.
Right.
I'm on the phone passing it on.
All right. That's right now.
If something's wrong with that picture, Pastor.
All right.
You know,
we were talking about that today, about how people have, they can easily spread venom, their venom and hurt amongst one another.
That's
same
right.
way when they see new members or some new babes come to the Lord or come to the church.
Right.
It's, you got certain vultures, the spiritual vultures, and they sit up on the ledge and they sit and watch and looking down watching for all the new fresh young meat, as they call it, to come into the Lord. And as soon as they get an opportunity and see a door open, they swoop down and start festering mess and junk and foolishness and lies and division with the babe and the Lord. And not knowing the consequences that they got to face for doing that. Amen. And people need to know you're going to pay, you're going to suffer the consequences. For the Bible says, woe be unto the one that soweth discord among the brethren. And when you go and you sow discord and confusion and try to break up a church and cause somebody to leave the ministry or the church because of your foolishness, you're reaping damnation unto yourself.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, one of the things that I always look at, I always go back to Jesus, and I keep learning new things every time, you know. And the interesting thing this time was Jesus had 12 disciples, and had it been me, if I had the foreknowledge that one of them was going to betray me, he wouldn't have been following me.
All right. All right.
And then if I had the foreknowledge that one was hot-tempered, he wouldn't have been so close to me.
That's it.
And then when you really look at the scriptures, what you find really see is that with the exception maybe of John, the other disciples thought that Jesus was on a mission to overthrow Rome. So they were excited. Some of them were zealots. They were part of the revolutionary group, and they were excited about Jesus. Maybe he's the one who's gonna overthrow the Romans. Because just in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what they call the Maccabean era, there were constant leaders coming up who attempted to overthrow Rome or overthrow their oppressors.
All right.
So, in other words, they had a different motive for following Jesus.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And and so what you find out is Jesus is working with people who he know are not necessarily wholeheartedly working with him. So, but he doesn't dismiss Judas.
All right.
He doesn't dismiss Peter.
That's right.
He doesn't dismiss the rest of them
who were
doubtful. You know. So the thing is, we're gonna have these individuals in our midst, just as Jesus did. But the thing that we do two things. One, we give them a chance to repent.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. You know, that's what God did with us. He gives us that opportunity to get it right. That's what grace is about. We don't deserve that opportunity, but he gives it to us. So we pass that on to the our offenders. We're going to give you the you're so in discord, and the route you're on, it's you're not going to like where you're going to end up.
That's right.
You're going to face
that's
the judgment
right.
of God. So, so give me your opportunity to repent. Okay. And then there are times when Paul had the one brother, you know, he says he's the cutting up at Corinth. He says, you know, a brother is cutting up and causing, doesn't want to act like a brother. He says, well, we're going to turn him. Paul turned the brother over to Satan.
All right. That's what he did.
You know, that his soul might be saved. So, because no matter what blunders people make, they need to be saved.
That's the bottom line. Yes, sir.
That's you know, the bottom. In other words, God loved us enough. Again, back to Romans 5, that when we were still sinners, yet sinners.
Yes, sinners.
Okay, Christ died for the ungodly. So what we're doing is we're extending that same grace to give that person a chance to repent.
That's right.
And to change. That's what God did with Moses. And you remember when Moses had come down from Mount Sinai with the tablets? Remember? And the Ten Commandments. And Aaron got with the folk. His assistant pastor got with the folk.
All right.
It was the assistant pastor went and collected the earrings. Collected was somewhere earrings, but collected all the gold ornaments that they had, melted them. It was the assistant pastor who led them in making the golden calf.
That's it.
You know,
that's it.
And I saw the grace of God in that. I saw God doing awesome. You know, because that would have been the end of his tenure with me as an assistant pastor.
All right.
You know, and he'd have to assist somebody else. But God says, okay. God told Moses, okay, who's on the Lord's side? In other words, I'm giving you an opportunity to repent.
That's real.
Who is on the Lord's side? Okay, you make up your mind. Who's on the Lord's side? You better get over here. Because something's about to happen. Because there's a consequences to sin. Romans tells us that. The wages of sin is death.
It's death.
There's a consequences to
sin. That's right. That's right.
So, you know the story. Those who didn't come cross over, the next thing you know, there was an earthquake.
That's real.
You know.
That's real.
So, but at the same time, God gave them that opportunity to repent.
Yes.
Now, as far as Brother Aaron is concerned, God demonstrated grace.
Yes.
You
yes,
know,
yes.
I mean, in no way under heaven did Aaron deserve to continue.
All right.
But God extended what he didn't deserve.
Yes.
You know, so that's the one thing. But then, you know, people have to, but those who are sincere will take correction.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Those who can. The Bible says whom God loved, and that's what I'm talking about getting into this love dimension, because some people can't stand correction.
That's real now.
You know, people don't want, husbands don't want to be corrected. Wives don't want to be corrected. And we all know that the children don't want to be corrected.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the Bible says whom God loves, he corrects.
He chastens. Yes, sir.
It's, yeah. And the word literally means to correct.
Yes.
You know, so in other words, he loves us so much he doesn't want to see us go the wrong direction. I'll get into that later. But that's awesome all by itself.
Okay. And also the word, I'm looking at the word the Lord was dealing with me. I was reading in Joshua 9th chapter. And how the Lord speaks of all these different nations were rising against the children of Israel when Joshua was in reign. And they were rose up against, they heard what Joshua and the children of Israel had did to Jericho. And then they heard what they did to Ai, how the Lord had given them the victory in these different battles. And so this particular tribe, people, Gibeonites, they lived close by, but they said, we heard the word, and the Lord said, for you to wipe out everybody close by, everybody around here, all this, that this land belongs to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord told, we know the Lord told you to wipe us out. So they made like they were come from far land. They got old food and
that's
old
right.
things and different things and came under the impression of somebody else.
That's well, right.
But what I'm getting at is how the men of God, you were talking about the assistant pastor, the one that did work.
Aaron, yeah.
Aaron. The Bible says that the men, the people came to the men of God, the elders.
Right.
And talked to the men of God or the elders first.
Right.
And when they presented themselves to them, the elders didn't pray. They didn't consult the Lord and ask the Lord what's going on with these people. They just took it. And see, we can't get caught up into a feeling sorry, like you said, feeling sorry or looking with the natural eye and getting caught up or thrown off from what the natural eye see, because people know how to disguise themselves really good. And so we have to rely on the Spirit of God. And in order to do that, we have to have the love of Christ in us, because people that don't have the love of God in them will automatically send them away. Get away from me. You know, I ain't got time for no messenger. And shoot them down without actually seeing
exactly.
what's up and ministering to the soul and winning the soul. But they went before the men. The men didn't talk to God. And then after the men didn't talk to God, they brought them to Joshua, and then Joshua didn't consult the Lord either.
Right.
He basically went off of what the elders said, and
right.
they made a promise with these people, and because of the promise, they had to stick to the promise and
they had to keep their word. That's
but
right.
they made them woodchippers
that's
and
right.
woodcallers. But because of that, we have to learn how to pray. Like, and that's what's been in, just been ringing out today in the services, the different services, is prayer. Each place I went to, it's been ringing out. We need to get back. The church needs to get back to prayer. Looking at all the things that's going on in the land, the dissension and the division, the hatred that's going on in the land, and we need to get back to what we know, and that's the church praying, asking God to have mercy and to touch the minds of the people. Amen. We know these are the last days, and the Lord is on his way back. Amen. But this, a lot of this foolishness is the cause of the folk, not the church, the body of Christ, not taking stand and praying like they're supposed to do. And when I mentioned that today, when I said that today, instead of the folk getting in on tune and getting on board with it, they did the opposite and went against it and said, well, we ain't praying, we ain't going to pray. So the Lord had to minister and manifest himself and bring a whole different group of people in to show the ones that was there that this man of God is on tune. He's in tune with me. I don't know what they were on, but the bottom line is we have to stay in tune with God. We have to keep our connection, amen, open with the Lord to where we have a straight line, amen. And leadership, my leader tell me we don't always have time to go fall on our knees and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes all we have time to say is Jesus. All we have time, real quick, we have to make
that's
sure
right.
that our line
that's right.
of connection
that's
is
right.
clear to
that's
get you.
Right.
Amen. Because we want him to respond to us when we call him. Amen. The same thing is with us. The Lord wants us to respond to him when he calls us. And how many of you have heard the voice of the Lord, have felt the move of God, and you refuse to move because of somebody or something or situation or where you was or who was looking at you? Don't mess around and lose your salvation and lose your soul fooling around with people and foolishness. Amen.
Amen.
You have to, your salvation have to mean more to you, amen, than anybody else, because you know what the Lord has done for you. You know where the Lord has brought you from, and you know what it's going to take to keep you right with God. Amen. So don't get with no crowd. The preacher was preaching today, check your pack, talking about the wolf, how wolves run in packs. And what happens is when the they get ready to hunt, the male wolf, he stands and you look and he stands and you're thinking that he's fixing to attack you, his pose. But what happens is the female fox gets under and gets right up underneath the male fox, and when they get close enough, or you get close enough, she lunges for your throat.
Right,
so
right.
But they run in packs, and we have to
that's
make
right.
sure that our pack is right. Amen. Some of us have some friends and different ones that the Lord have placed, or some of us that we've just added to our pack, and the Lord didn't place there. You need to check your pack, because when you're going through trouble and you're going through a situation and a crisis and you need to get in touch with God, You don't need nobody putting no negative fingers at you and pointing out the negative in all situations. You know, well, they shouldn't have said this and did that. What you need is somebody to say, well, sister or brother, come on, let's go to God. I don't have to know none of all that what goes on. All I know is let's take it to the Lord and ask the Lord to give you strength. And
amen.
That's what we need today, amen, to go to the Lord, approach the altar and go before the Lord, amen, and talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord for strength, not only for you, but for your neighbor, for your brother and your sister in the Lord. You don't know what they're going through, amen. And some of you, amen, you have some friends, amen, that you know are not going right and doing the right thing. It's time now for you to separate yourself. Amen. The coming of the Lord is soon. He's on his way back, and he's coming after a people, amen, with a pure heart. He's looking for a people with a pure heart. Amen.
Amen.
A heart of worship, and he wants that. He needs that, but he's looking for us to give to him what he's given to us. He placed his spirit down in us, and all he wants us to do is give him back what he's given to us. Amen. Give him the glory. Give him back our soul. Give him back our life. Amen. And let him bless. Amen. We're going through some things, and as I was saying about the listening to the man of God about the pact, and that made me stop and think. Cousin, it made me stop and think to really evaluate a self-evaluation of me and as well as my pact. And they say, okay, you know what? That is right. When I need a prayer through, if I'm going through something and I'm down, amen, I feel like, okay, maybe I can't get a prayer through right now. I'm not in the mindset to pray right now. I'm not in the mindset or the mood right now. If something's heavy on me, I need to call somebody that I know can get a prayer through and that I know is going to go with me to the Lord, to the throne of grace, and not talk negative stuff and foolishness. Amen. But that's what we need today is someone that will take a stand. Amen, for the body of Christ and for the love of God. Amen, and to declare and to decree the blessings of the Lord. Amen, standing on his promises. And don't be like, amen, the men that did not consult the Lord, but we want to talk to the Lord. He said, in all your ways acknowledge me. And he said, he will direct your path. And we want the Lord to constantly direct our path. We want to make sure that we're on the right path with the Lord as well as with his people, amen. And so many times we see individuals come and go. They don't stay nowhere long enough to be fed and get the word, and so they make shipwreck, or they get out too soon, or you see them just here and there and everywhere, amen. But the Lord is doing, there's a settling that's taking place, amen, in the body of Christ. There's a settling, amen. He said, let the wheat and the tare come together, and he'll do the separating, amen. Watch what God is doing. There's a move that God is doing now. And all we have to do is just get in the move of God, amen, be in the right place at the right time and allow the Lord to move you when he needs to move you, place you. And I'll share with someone, each one of us is strategically placed in the body of Christ. We're all strategically placed. And it's something how people that you don't even expect, how the Lord will fix it to where your lives or your paths will cross. And when your paths cross, you come to find out that they have something you need and you have something they need.
Amen.
But y'all come from two different backgrounds or two different areas or different surroundings or what have you. But the Lord is the one that connects the people. Amen. All of us are connected in the body of Christ. But we have to open our hearts and minds to receive of the Lord, to allow him, amen, to minister to us. Amen. And to take us where he would have us to go. Amen. Check your pack. Amen. Make sure that who you're running with, if you got some road dogs or some Ace Boon Coons or homies, make sure that your homies, make sure your peeps or your friends or whoever you run with, make sure, amen, that somebody in that pack has a good connection with God, amen. Somebody in that pack can get a prayer through, amen. Make sure that you got somebody in that pack that's a prayer warrior, because we all need somebody in our lives that can get a prayer through and that praise, amen. Everybody don't have the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Everybody don't have the spirit of prayer, amen. But those that do, amen, pray for those and intercede, amen, for those that don't have the spirit of prayer. But we all need to check our pack and make sure you have the right people running with you. Are you running with the right people? You want to put yourself in a bad pack and be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so many times that's what has happened to us in the natural as well as the spiritual. We're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we miss our blessing. And the word of God went forth today, and when the word of God went forth today, there were individuals that needed this word that came today, but they weren't there. They missed the word. And Pastor used to always say, he said, don't miss church. You don't want to miss your blessing. You never know what the Lord has in store for you. And you don't want to miss out what the Lord has in store for you. But there were different ones who missed out today's service, and they missed out on a dynamic word that was directly for them, amen, that would have helped them to get out of the situation and encourage them to go on another further, but they weren't there. It's allowing the enemy, allowing different ones, the wrong people in your pack to give negative word, to sow discord and to feed negative vibrations to individuals. You got to know when to cut it off. You got to know when to cut it off and trust in God. Turn to prayer. Let us get back to our word and studying the word of God. A lot of times people are bumped over so easily and we lose our footing in God. It's because we don't know the word. And how can you fight in the battle of the Lord? How can you fight in the army of the Lord and you don't even have the right equipment? You're not properly equipped. You're not even studying the word of God enough to fight the enemy when he comes. In order for you to fight the enemy, you have to have the word of God, just like Jesus did. He put the word on the enemy. Amen. He put the word on Satan, and Satan had to flee. And even though Satan came back with some word, he couldn't deal with it when it came to Christ. You have to have the word. Amen. And have the word down inside. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. Knowing how to rightly divide, knowing right when, which scriptures go with what and where and when. Amen. Knowing when to apply the word of God and what situations in your life to witness the manifestation and the power of God moving and working in your life. Amen. We serve the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed. He said, I am God that I change not. And the same God that had that power from back in the day that we heard about, the same miracles and blessings that the Lord did back in the day that we've heard about, he's working those same miracles today. Amen. He's moving in the same way today. And all we have to do is just put ourselves and align ourselves, amen, to receive of the Lord, to get the blessings that the Lord has for us. Amen. And once you line yourself up, yes, you're going to have haters, but let them hate. And when they start hating on you, just know that you must be doing something right. When they start hating, just know that you must be doing something right if you got some haters hating on you. You must be doing all right, amen, for the Lord, amen. And the haters don't come until they start getting jealous of you, seeing what you're doing, and they don't have it in them enough to do it. That's when the jealousy kicks in at. But you keep on striving and reaching for the Lord. Keep working for the Lord. The Lord has you in mind, amen. Your future is going to get better, amen. Better days ahead, but stay faithful to God. Amen. He is a faithful God. And he is not one that he overlooks when men overlook your work and your labor of love. God don't overlook it. Amen. He sees everything. Amen. He's aware of what you're doing and how you're working in his body, in the body, and in his kingdom. He's aware. You just keep working faithfully. Don't let no negativity and nobody come with nothing to distract you or make you fall or come down off of your post. But you stay right there. And the message I preached not too long ago was stay where you are, but not as you are. Amen. Stay right where you are, but not as you are. You can stay and hold that same position working in the church, but you don't have to stay the same way in your mindset or in your spirit. You can elevate. Amen. You can become more and more and get more of Christ, even staying right there. The Lord don't want you to leave your post of duty. He don't want you to leave that church or your place of worship because of animosity or because of jealousy or because of foolishness. He don't want you to leave. He wants you to stay right there. And he wants you to allow him to shine in your life right there. He said he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. If you run and leave your post, how can he prepare the table where your enemies are so you can eat in front of your enemies? How can he do that if you leave? You have to stay right there. Yeah, don't always feel good. Don't always feel good. No, don't always look good. Amen. Just know that you know that God is in control, that you've given it over to Jesus. And you're trusting him to work it out. Amen. Trusting him and give it over to him. Amen. We want to, amen, pray a blessing on God's people. Amen. Thanking him for how he's just been moving and working, amen, in our lives. And we're grateful for that. Amen. We're going to ask Pastor Donnie if he would lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. So God's people, God bless you.
Father, we just want to come and thank you because you have loved your people.
Yes.
And you said that you will not withhold any good thing from those who walk upright before you. And we thank you that you love even the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that if they would believe in him, they would not have everlasting life. So we thank you for blessing your people according to your word. Be it unto them. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Man of God, woman of God, just know that God is with you right now. Amen. The best is yet to come. You keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. He knows the situation. He knows what you've been dealing with. All he wants you to do is rest in him, trust in him, give it to him, and watch him manifest, amen, and work it out in your behalf. Be blessed of the Lord. Amen. We're looking for, amen, a wonderful word of God coming again on next week. Amen. We ask you to tune in. Amen. Tell a friend. Share with someone. Amen. That Culture Zen Radio Network, too, amen, has a dynamic show coming on at 9 o'clock. Let everyone know that the Lord, the truth of the gospel, is going forth, and God's people shall be free. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
We bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you and tonight. Amen.